looked at committing our ways to God, and now we're looking at watching for the indications of His providence. If God has providences, we need to watch for them. They are easily missed. And so we want to look at how we watch for the providences of the Lord. What are those things that we ought to thank God for versus those things that we ought to blame on Satan and don't have to thank anybody for? How can we tell the providences that God gives versus the problems in life that Satan gives? How can we know from the indications of providence just how God is leading us? That's the question we're addressing. In Testimonies, Volume 3, page 333, it says, "The providences of God include our circumstances." Let's notice this quote. "Our circumstances and surroundings, the changes daily transpiring around us, and the written Word of God, which discerns and proves all things, these are sufficient to teach us our duty and just what we ought to do day by day." Can you hear me clear in the back? I'm trying to talk as loud as I possibly can. If you have trouble hearing me, come closer. Now notice, circumstances, surroundings, changings, daily transpiring, the Word of God, these teach us our duty, what we should do day by day. That's all we need. Circumstances, surroundings, and the changes daily transpiring around us. These are the providences of God. In character, we need both the active and the passive traits. We looked at that last time. You remember? Now, if they're going to be in balance, if our character tends toward being too passive, what is God going to do? He's going to bring out passive things to give us exercise. I mean, He's going to bring out active things to exercise and strengthen our active traits, which need strengthening. If we are too passive, He will tend to give us circumstances. Circumstances in life is defined as those things around us that we can change. On the other hand, if our character qualities tend toward being too active, too strong on this side, God gives us surroundings, that is, those things we cannot change. Now, in my own personal case, my character tends toward being more active, perhaps too active, on the too active side. And so God tends to surround me with things I can't do anything about. And He does that because He wants to strengthen and bring in balance my character. The change is daily taking place around us. That's what God is changing. And the only thing that changes is not the Word of God. All this balances out our character traits, and God individualizes it so that we will have symmetrical characters. Now, looking for the providences of God has benefits, and it protects us from the last of the four great dangers in choosing an occupation. And one of the great dangers in choosing an occupation is selfish ambition, seeking great things for ourselves. Education, page 267. "Many are diverted from the line in which they might reach the truest success, seeking greater honor or a more pleasing task. They attempt something for which they are not fitted." Just as the underachiever doesn't reach out far enough, these reach too far. "They attempt something for which they are not fitted. Many a man whose talents are adapted for some other calling is ambitious to enter a profession, and he who might have been successful as a farmer, an artisan, or a nurse fills inadequately the position of a minister, a lawyer, or a physician." Now, providences, I used to give 3 hours of material on watching for the indications of God's providence. But I'm going to summarize this in the next few minutes. Every experience of life is an illustration of truth. It's an experience in truth. It gives us opportunities for character perfecting. Volume 2 of the Testimonies, page 571. You are continually finding fault with circumstances. This person, that person. This problem, that problem. Which is nothing less than finding fault with the providences of God. Our circumstances, our surroundings, and the changes around us, each of those are the providence of God. In the wilderness, the children of Israel were always finding fault with the way God led them. Either it was too hot, or it was too dry, or there wasn't enough food, or it was this, or it was that. And if we find fault with circumstances, the wilderness God has placed us in, we are finding fault with the providences that God provided for us to illustrate truth to us, to give us experience in truth, and to perfect our characters. In a letter, letter 42, 1879, which Ellen White wrote to her son, Edson White, she said this, "Temptation is allowed to come upon us to discover the character we possess and to improve our defects. God doesn't bring temptation, but He allows it to what? So that we can find out our character and improve our defects." It doesn't matter what is in your life. God wants to use it to work together for good. To bring good to you. I was walking to church. We only live 5 miles from our church. And so sometimes I'm able to walk. And this one day I was walking to church. It was probably about 8:30 in the morning. And as I was going along a route that had some cars that would come by, I saw a beetle, and it was just beginning to cross the road. Now, this beetle didn't have a view of the world that I did. And I saw a car coming that beetle didn't see. And that beetle was very happy to be crossing the road. And I thought, I'm going to save that beetle's life, and he's not even going to appreciate the fact that I saved his life. So I walked up to the beetle, and I put my foot there just in front of the beetle. And that beetle got unhappy with the obstacle. And I flipped it back, and it kept trying again. And I flipped it back. And you know, if I don't know how a beetle thinks, but if I would think through that, what that beetle thought, it might be something like this. I wonder why I'm having all these problems in life. And it had no idea that I was trying to save its life. You see, this world is a school. God arranges the classwork, and every experience in life is valuable as a tool to improve my character and give opportunities to develop friendships that will last forever. We had in our backyard a cardinal, and this cardinal kept attacking our window. And what he saw in the window, we have a picture window, it's not a big one, it's a picture window there where we eat breakfast. And what he saw in the window was another cardinal, which of course is a reflection of himself. And he'd come up and he'd tack that window and then he'd flutter back down and he'd get in and he'd attack it. And I thought he'd give up, but we probably fed it too well back there, so it had nothing better to do than to attack that cardinal it could see. And this went on for 2 years, that this bird would just keep attacking that window. And you know what that bird's greatest enemy was? What it saw as its enemy was just itself, reflection of itself. And that's what we find in our life. That so much of our energy is spent attacking when it doesn't need to. If the cardinal would have been just happy going about its duties, doing its best, there where it was, it would not have had to attack the window, which it wasn't going to change anyway. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I like King James better than this. I don't know why I put NIV. Let's say it together. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and have been called according to His purpose. So, all things work together for good. If I didn't have this one thing, something else wouldn't be working together for my good. As we said before, even the thorns and thistles were given to us for what? For our sake. For our good. We need these experiences. And folks, sometimes people get discouraged because the church seems to be slow in following the opening providences of the Lord. But God is allowing even these circumstances to prepare us for greater usefulness. We don't have to follow a multitude to do evil, do we? We can go forward in the strength of the Lord. Everything can work for our good and equip us to be mighty workers for the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. If you were going to send people over to Iraq to face real bullets in real warfare, would you say to the soldiers that you were training, you'd say, you know, it's going to be pretty tough for you in a short time, so I think what we need now is let's put you up in this nice Marriott or in the Sheraton here over in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and just enjoy your time because in a little bit you're going to face real enemies. Oh no, what do? They say you're going to face real enemies, so let's give you the training that you need. We'll shoot at you with rubber bullets at first, then we'll even have live ammunition until you can fight manfully and do your job. You see, the church is God's boot camp. The saints shoot rubber bullets at us, but it's to prepare us for the world. We can trust God to care for our needs. Now, how would you counsel the discouraged young man that we started a couple hours ago, following God's opening door of providence into business, continue pastoring and praying that God will use him to bring revival to his church? Or in situation two, the recent Christian in the school, would you counsel them to quit school immediately and start working to save up enough money to begin taking classes at a Christian college next quarter or finish the quarter and pray that God will convict their associates by the godly life and conversation? Or the recent Christian in a poor environment, would you say quit immediately, have faith that the Lord will provide another job, or stay on the job and pray that God will convict her associates by her godly example? Here's what I hope you would counsel them. In any situation, begin immediately doing the best they can in the work at hand. Excuse me. Determined to do nothing in any line that will displease God. You see, if that person is working at a fast food place, and she's determined to do nothing in any line that will displease God, if she has to sell alcohol or cigarettes, what will she do? She'll say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And they'll fire her. That's guidance. If she was going to quit, she shouldn't worry about being fired. Determined to do nothing in any line that will displease God. Without delay, make and present the case to God, and then follow God's leading. That's how we counsel. We counsel to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Are you willing to do your best in the work that lies nearest? To build your life around pleasing God? To make all your plans prayerfully? To commit your ways to God? If you're willing to do that, you're ready for our next topic, which is how to hear the voice of God. Let's just sing a song, and then we'll go to our next topic. Hymn 529. Well, I guess you don't have hymn books. Do we know this? How many know Under His Wings? Under His wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can save her? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that You will take these commitments. Bless us as we attempt to do our best, our very best for You in the work that You've given to us, the nearest work. Help us to be able to build our life around pleasing You and teach us how to best please You. Help us to make all our plans prayerfully and commit our ways to God. Oh Lord, accept these four commitments of ours. Bless us now as we study to hear Your voice. In Christ's name, amen. This is now hearing God's voice. How can you hear God's voice? Could Jesus speak to us now? What would He say? In Desire of Ages, page 643, speaking of the last evening Jesus had with His disciples, it says, Jesus had much to tell them. If they had been prepared to receive what He longed to impart, they would have been saved from heartbreaking anguish, from disappointment and unbelief. But Jesus saw that they could not bear what He had to say. As He looked into their faces, the words of warning and comfort were stayed upon His lips. You see, here was an experience in which Jesus wanted to say something, but what did He end up saying? Nothing. Here is an experience in which God's words, Jesus' words, would have been very encouraging. They would have been comforting. The warnings would have been helpful. And what did He say? Not a word. Would you be holy Jesus's? Would you like Him to teach you how to do that? Would you do His will, not your own? That's what we want to look at as we... Okay. Look at hearing God's voice. Years ago, there was a telegraph applicant that made an application to be a CW operator in a telegraph company. And he was told with another applicant to sit down and they would be called in due time. So they sat down and started chatting, and then one was looking off this way and that way, and suddenly one of the two applicants got up and opened the door and went inside. And a few moments later, the owner of the telegraph company there, the station, looked out at the other person and says, "I've hired this man. You can go home." What had happened is the man inside had been sending messages. And they could hear the click and clatter of the messages. And the message was, if you hear this, open the door and come in. And the man that responded got the job. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." Isaiah 20:21, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Well, it was a personal quest of myself. I saw wonderful promises. There was help in making wise decisions if we could hear God's voice. "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." There was wisdom in witnessing. Isaiah 50, verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned," so I could listen to him. Fellowship with God. "I stand at the door and knock." Revelation 3:20, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." In assurance of God's reality, Deuteronomy 5:24, "Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth." Gives protection from sickness. Exodus 15:26, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Tremendous promises. And so I went on a personal quest to hear the voice of God. And I got confusing advice, I have to tell you. I went with a colporteur who would listen to the voice of God. He'd drive around some territory, and I was with him. And he said, "You know, I'm impressed that God wants me to call at this house." We'd get out of the car. We'd go up. We'd knock. The person would be home. And he would sell cash, a whole set. I'd seen it numerous times. $100, $200 sets, just sales, just like that. I tried it. I said, "You know, I'm impressed. Maybe we should go see this house." And we'd go up and nobody'd be home. A minister said, "What you need to do is after you listen to God, you kneel down, you pray, and then you listen to him speak after you've knelt down." So I would kneel down and I would pray. And the only sound after I finished praying that I would hear was the clock ticking on the mantle. That's it. So I wondered, what is this, the voice of God, that I need to be listening to? Has that question ever crossed your mind? How could I tell God's voice from my own imagination or even the voice of Satan? Can you imagine my thrill to discover the following quotation? Testimonies, Volume 5, page 512. This is a key page. Try to remember it. 5T512. Part of it is in Messages to Young People, by the way. "There are three ways in which the Lord reveals His will to us, to guide us, and to fit us to guide others." Three ways. Not 20 ways. Three ways. And then she asks the next question, "How may we know His voice from that of a stranger? How shall we distinguish it from the voice of a false shepherd?" Well, those were my questions exactly. When I read through this, I thought, thank you, God. I'm going to hear the answer to a question that has been very perplexing to me. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 512, the three ways, she goes on to say, number one, God speaks through the Bible. God reveals His will to us in His Word, the Holy Scriptures. If you are in doubt upon any subject, you must first consult the Scriptures. So if you don't know about a subject, what's the first thing you do if you want to hear the voice of God? What saith the Scriptures? If possible, kneel down and pray out loud at the start of a Bible study. Say, Lord, I'm really wanting to know about the following. Surrender everything in your life to the direction of God. And ask God to give you personalized guidance for your day. Christ's Object Lessons, page 132. God's holy educating spirit is in His Word. A light, a new and precious light shines forth from every page. Truth is there revealed, and words and sentences are made bright and appropriate for the occasion, as the voice of God speaking to the soul. When you have something that you've never noticed before leap out at you, that's God speaking to you. Words and sentences are made bright and appropriate for the occasion. You just know that's direction from God. Medical Ministry, page 70. Make the Bible the man of your counsel. Your acquaintance with it will grow rapidly if you keep your minds free from the rubbish of the world. This was a letter that Ellen White wrote to medical students. I was so excited when I read it because as a medical student, I would have loved to have had a letter from Ellen White, and here it was, to medical students. The more the Bible is studied, the deeper will be your knowledge of God. But it says, keep your minds free from the rubbish of the world. The truths of His Word will be written in your soul, making ineffaceable impressions. Child Guidance, 545. Nothing that is sacred, nothing that pertains to the worship of God, should be treated with carelessness and indifference. When the word of life is spoken, you should remember that you are listening to the voice of God through His delegated servant. Do not lose these words through inattention. If heeded, they may keep your feet from straying into wrong paths. God wants me to teach, to learn from His written word. God wants me to learn from His spoken word. Scripture says, blessed are those that read and those that hear. God speaks not only through the Bible, but volume 5, page 512, continues that He speaks through providences. Notice this. His voice is also revealed in His providential workings, and it will be recognized if we do not separate ourselves, our souls from Him, by walking in our own ways, by doing according to our own wills, and following the promptings of an unsanctified heart. Until the senses have become so confused that eternal things are not discerned, and the voice of Satan is so disguised that it is accepted as the voice of God. Folk, you'll run into people all the time who believe that they're doing what God would have them to do when they're going directly contrary to His revealed word. Have you ever seen that? Satan has disguised his voice, and they're accepting the disguised voice of Satan as God's voice to their soul. And lastly, God speaks not only through the Bible and through providential workings, He also speaks through impressions. We looked at providences briefly. We'll look at impressions as well. She continues, another way in which God's voice is heard is through the appeals of His Holy Spirit making impressions upon the heart, which will be wrought out in the character. So if we want to learn to hear God's voice, we listen daily to God's voice in the Bible. We watch daily for the providences of God. And these providences are opportunities for service that open before us. Losses of choice which close behind us. Higher powers God has placed over us. The authorities, our parents, the church authorities, governmental authorities. God sends. She continues, surrender yourself fully to God. If you have truly begun the life of faith, you have given yourself to the Lord to be wholly His, and He has taken you to mold and fashion according to His purpose, that you may be a vessel unto honor. You should have an earnest desire to be pliable in His hands and to follow whithersoever He may lead you. Isn't that nice? Here was Saddam Hussein, now captured. But for years, he had surrendered to the United States. You remember his surrender in 1991? What kind of surrender was that? It's a surrender that many Christians have. He surrendered to the United States as far as they could keep him in line. His surrender was constantly changing. His surrender was what he had to give up, what he had no choices in. And it never was a full surrender. What kind of surrender do we have? Do we have a Saddam Hussein type surrender where we're reluctant, we want to find out how little we can do and still make it to heaven? She continues, you are then trusting Him to work out His designs, while at the same time you are cooperating with Him by working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We surrender ourselves fully to God. We make a scriptural search. She continues, if you are in doubt upon any subject, you must first do what? Consult the Scriptures. Any subject. I remember in medical school, there were two of the students were arguing, and I was listening in the biochemistry lab at the time, and they were arguing over what was and what was not revealed in the Bible. And one young man was maintaining that everything that was necessary was in the Bible. And so the person who was contemptuous of the Bible and its authority said this to that young man. He said, well, where in the Bible do you find anything about organic chemistry? To which the first young man responded, if it's not there, by his silence, God is declaring what He thinks on the subject. Its importance. I thought that was an interesting argument. In this country, we have the Voice of America that goes out everywhere. Suppose that you visited a Russian family before the Soviet Union fell, communism fell in the Soviet Union. And so they're interested in talking to you. They look around and nobody is listening to them. And they said, look, we'd like to find out more about the United States. And so you tell them, well, get your radio and listen to the Voice of America. And then they make an interesting response. They say, we'd like to, but first of all, the Voice of America is jammed, and then Russia has a Voice of America that's not really the Voice of America. It's just a counterfeit Voice of America. It's really the Voice of Russia pretending to be the Voice of America. Now, as an American, would you have any trouble at all differentiating the true Voice of America from the counterfeit Voice of America? Why not? Because you know what the true America stands for. And so you'd know that the counterfeit Voice of America really was attacking what was at the core, the heart, the important part of this country. And so if you understand what God is about, what His character is about, what His kingdom stands for, you will recognize His voice from any counterfeit voice. You following me? Let me give you another example. I better continue. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you anyway. It's an interesting story. Back in the 80s, Iraq was building in a nuclear reactor ostensibly for peaceful purposes. You remember that Some of you remember that history. Well, Israel was very concerned about it because they knew that that was really for a nuclear bomb that would one day be used against Israel. So they decided they would take that and destroy that nuclear reactor. It turned out that the plans were sold to the Iraqis by and developed by a Jew who was in France and was willing to sell the plans first to Iraq and then to the Israel government. He was willing to sell it to them too. And so they studied those plans of the Iraqis, and they discovered, they made models, they did everything. They discovered that if they had 4 strategically placed bombs, they could destroy it and it could never be reinactivated. And so for 1 year, the Israeli soldiers were attacking a mock Iraqi nuclear reactor until finally they could do it perfectly with precision. And they not only did 4, but they had 8 bombs that they dropped on it just to make sure. Not only did they practice bombing the target so they could do it in less than 10 seconds, but they also practiced Iraqi patterns and Iraqi language just a little bit so that they could say some things without an accent. They took airplanes and put all the Iraqi markings on them because they were going to be flying over Iraqi territory for 5 hours. They planned it down to the split second so that they would arrive just at sunset. They would be arriving from the west over Baghdad. They would be over it 20 seconds and they would be gone. And they did it so it would be they would be coming from the sun, from the direction of the sun, it would be hard to see them. They came. They had all the markings. They looked like Iraqi planes. They had the right frequencies. They were using the Iraqi patterns, even the Iraqi kind of language. When did you know it was not an Iraqi plane? When they started attacking that which was important to Iraq. And dear folk, you can know, however a person pretends to be a Christian, if they start attacking that which is central to God's kingdom and His government, they're imposters. If they're attacking the sanctuary, if they're attacking the Sabbath, if they're attacking the law of God, you can know this is not true Christians. All right, so we've looked at that. Now we want to be observant of providences. Steps to Christ, page 87. God speaks to us through His providential workings. In our circumstances and surroundings and the changes daily taking place around us, we may find precious lessons if our hearts are but open to discern them. We recognize providences by the open and the closed door principle. Let me just tell you a story. I went to Loma Linda back in 1972. I started Loma Linda. And when I went to Loma Linda, just before I started, I was there a couple weeks to get all acclimatized and all settled in. And a week before school was to start, my mom was still there, and she was close friends with Vandemans, and we got a call from Mrs. Vandeman. She wanted us to eat lunch with them the next Sabbath. And since Elder Vandeman had brought my dad into the truth, my dad was a minister of another denomination, this was Aunt Nellie to us growing up and Uncle George to us growing up. So Aunt Nellie had invited us to their home for dinner. That was about a 2-hour trip from where we were. And so we said, yes, we'd like to go there. But just before they had called, the head of the neurophysiology had asked and invited us over to their house for dinner. And we had said yes. And now Aunt Nellie had called, and we had said, now we had 2 places we had said yes to. Now you can't go to 2 places. And we weren't sure just what we should do. So we prayed and we said, Lord, close doors, open doors so that we know what we should do this Sabbath. Again, we were practicing in little areas of life so that we can know how God guides in larger areas of life. And so we tried to call up the neurophysiologist to tell them we couldn't be eating there at Sabbath. Another change of plans had come up, and the phone was busy or nobody was there, and I kept calling and I just couldn't contact them. Nothing happened. We kept praying that the Lord would help us know where we should go. And finally I left a message that we needed to get in contact with us, that the neurophysiologist needed to get in contact with us. And just before they called, Aunt Nellie gave us a call and said Elder Vanneman had been called on an emergency. He was going to be out of town and wondered if they could cancel the plans to eat at their house. And we said, certainly. And right after we had hung up from that call, the neurophysiologist contacted us. And we said, thank you, we're just happy to be at your house for Sabbath dinner. Now, what had God done? He'd arranged that we didn't have to say no to anybody. We had said yes to all, but He had gotten us where He wanted us. He had closed one door, He had opened another. The proper place for signs is here in this confirmation. You don't ask for signs as to direction, you ask for signs to confirm an apparent direction that the Lord is giving. That's a very important place. And you'll see where signs were forbidden and punished by King Ahaz, or where he was asking for signs in a different way than confirmation. Then we accept the principle of God's absolute sovereignty. All things come of God. He is in charge. There is nothing that happens in this world without God's direct permission. God is sovereign. Ministry of Healing, page 489. The Father's presence encircled Christ, and nothing befell Him but that which infinite love permitted for the blessing of the world. Here was His source of comfort, and it is for us. He who is imbued with the Spirit of Christ abides in Christ. Whatever comes to him comes from the Savior who surrounds him with His presence. There is nothing that can come to me that God doesn't allow. You remember when Jesus was in front of Pilate, Pilate said various things, and he could release him or not release him. And Jesus said to Pilate, what? You have no power but what was given you from above. So when I discovered this truth, it was wonderful. I didn't have to worry about what to blame on Satan and what to thank God for. I could thank God in all things. I didn't have to thank Him for things, but I could thank Him in all things, giving thanks. Nothing can touch Him except by the Lord's permission. All our sufferings and sorrows, all our temptations and trials, all our sadness and grief, all our persecutions and privations, in short, all things work together for our good. All experiences and circumstances are God's workmen, whereby good is brought to us. Isn't that wonderful? We've seen this already. Testimonies, Volume 2, 571. You who are continually finding fault with circumstances, which is nothing less than finding fault with providence. Testimonies, Volume 7, 103. We are on the verge of the eternal world. The judgments of God have already begun to fall. God sends these judgments to bring men and women to their senses. He has a purpose in everything that He permits to take place in our world, and He desires us to be so spiritually minded that we shall be able to perceive His working in the events so unusual in the past, but now of almost daily occurrence. And so we surrender ourselves fully to God. We make a scriptural search. We are observant of providences, and we recognize impressions from God. Now, here is how God works to help us make decisions. If we study Scripture, we do a scriptural search, and the Bible doesn't forbid it, nor command it. If the Bible forbids or commands it, we know exactly what to do. But if it's neither forbidden nor commanded by the Bible, then we look at providences. Suppose I want to be a physician, but I can't get to medical school. That's a closed door. In my life, there was a person that I wanted to be able to work closely with, and the Lord never opened that door. So we recognize providences. If the Bible doesn't command or forbid it, and if the providence is open to it, then the next step is, how am I impressed on this? You see, it doesn't matter what our impression is if we can't do it anyway. It doesn't matter what our impression is if God's forbidden it anyway. But if God hasn't forbidden or commanded, if the providences are open, then it matters how we're impressed. Do you follow that? It's God's threefold way to make us wise in our decisions. There have been many times where God's Word didn't explicitly direct. Providences were open, and I had a question mark. And I've learned to respect that little heaviness that God gives in impressions. What are impressions from God? Conviction of sin and desire for righteousness, John 16:8. Steps of Christ, page 28. You who in heart long for something better than this world can give, recognize this longing as the voice of God to your soul. Ask Him to give you repentance, to reveal Christ to you in His infinite love and His perfect purity. Do you want to do better? That's God speaking to you. Hold on to that. Recognize that voice. Every duty that presents itself, Counsels on Health 562, the light which God has given upon health reform cannot be trifled with without injury to those who attempt it, and no man can hope to succeed in the work of God while by precept and example he acts in opposition to the light which God has sent. The voice of duty is the voice of God, an inborn, heaven-sent guide, and the Lord will not be trifled with upon these subjects. Testimonies, Volume 4. If spiritually awake, they would hear in the income of every week, whether much or little, the voice of God and of conscience, with authority demanding the tithes and offerings due the Lord. The Faith I Live By, page 58. Conscience is the voice of God heard amid the conflict of human passions. When it is resisted, the Spirit of God is grieved. I could go on. Let me just look at Christ's Object Lessons, page 129, so we bring this to a close. If we keep the Lord ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise to Him, we shall have a continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of a conversation with God as we would talk with a friend. He talking to us, we talking back to Him. Is that the kind of life you want? If you do, why don't you just stand and let's sing Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now. Father, bless us. Thank you for this opportunity to study, for these times that we can commit to listen to your voice. And now bless us as we go into our last study. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.